Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
See you tonight. Anybody glad to be in God's house on a Wednesday night? On a sunny night, huh? Y'all appreciate the 70-degree weather today? Was that awesome or what, huh? Keep that thing flowing and going. We curse snow and cold in the name of Jesus. We tell it not to come back till next February. Somebody say amen to that. Next February is when we want it back. And I'm pumped to get to talk to you a little bit tonight. My name's Pastor Brian Gibson. If you don't know me, I'd like to welcome you to the house of God. And it's an honor to get to speak the word of God to you. Right up here, I see Wednesday night people. Man, I love our Wednesday night crowd. The people in the room are the salt of the earth. And so many people in this room, you make River City Church happen. You care, you work, you serve, you invest, you give. And I think we ought to give the Wednesday night crowd a hand clap. Everybody else that's in here, thank you for making the church happen. It's awesome. You know, I look here and I see people of all ages on a Wednesday night that are here to man, soak in the things of God. We got a house full of kids in the back. The kids workers are doing their thing, training our kids to hear the voice of God, to know the scripture. And our kids are going to be Jesus people. Somebody say amen to that. I really believe that. We have our youth in the back room, and they're being taught the things of the Lord right now. Got Mr. John Tatum back there leading that team, ministering to them. And I'll tell you, John's becoming an incredible preacher. He's a great asset to the team. So let's give our youth workers a hand clap. I love them. And I'm not going to say, you know, I talked about people being in the rooms right now of all ages, so I'm not going to talk about any of our older people in here, Max Long, but I would never do that to you. I won't call Miss Pat that, but I'll tease Max like that. And then I think about young couples in the room that are learning the things of God, like Wes and Catherine right up here on the front row. I think the sky's the limit for a couple like that. And just to have people, one generation, declaring to the next the wonderful works of God. How many of y'all think our church should be multi-generational? Should be everybody in here, and we should be learning to serve Jesus. And it's massive. I see the achievement in the room. Like one of the Wathen boys right back there in the back, he went to the state like accounting finals or something this week. They didn't let guys like me go to things like that in high school, but it's like an accounting finals. There were 1,000 kids doing an accounting deal to see who would come out on the top. He was number 4 out of 1,000. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Number 4 out of 1,000. I like to think he got all that smart stuff hanging out with his pastor. That's where all that came from, son. You're blessed, huh? So sky's the limit. So come on, one generation is declaring to the next the wonderful works of God. Now, I believe what God wants to do is God wants to take us and not just make us a group of Christ followers. We are Christ followers. We're believers. Come on, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We believe we have the answer. There's a lot of questions on the earth. There's only one answer. His name is Jesus. That alone and his wisdom will fix any problem you have. So we have the answer, but there's no doubt about it. And because of that, if you're a Christian, the word Christian means little Christ. Everybody say little Christ. That means we're a little Christ. Whenever we show up, the answer shows up. Come on, somebody. Whenever you walk in the room, the answer to depression walked into the room. You walk into the room, the answer to sickness walked into the room. You walk into the room, the answer to sin walked into the room. You walked into the room, the answer to not knowing what to do just walked into the room. And if we'll let the wisdom of God flow through us like that, I'm telling you, we'll change every environment. So God's called us not just to be Christ followers. But let me say it like this. This is a part of being a Christ follower. It's a better way to define it. And that is, God's called us all to leadership at some level. Does y'all believe that out there? I mean, we're all called to lead at some level if we name the name of Jesus. We're called to lead people out of darkness into light. Come on, somebody. We're called to pray for the sick, so we're called to lead people into healing. You're called to lead people out of addiction and into freedom. Doesn't matter if it's an addiction to a substance or an addiction to worry. I've met some worry junkies that were way worse than cokeheads. You ever met some anxiety freaks? It's like, you might as well be on something strong because you're twitching like, I don't know what's up, right? So you can lead those people into freedom. How many of y'all believe Jesus is bigger than anxiety? Jesus is bigger than worry? Jesus is bigger than a monkey on your back of what could go wrong? Some of you have been worried about what could go wrong all your life. It still hasn't gone wrong yet. You're going to have to worry about it. And then if it ever really happens, you'll have to go through it twice. Come on. You don't want to do that. So you have the answer to that. We're all called to lead. Come on. The family, the mother and father are leading the children right now, right? Husbands are leading the entire family. When we go to the workplace, we're leading the workplace. We ought to be leading people around us. Even if we don't have a positional leadership, we should have a leadership just by the sheer fact we're going to work so hard and we're going to have such an ethic, we rise to the top as a leader. If we're not a leader, people start following us. That leadership thing is powerful. And so I really believe that we should couch and live ourselves, our lives like a leader. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you have it on you tonight, to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll start in verse 1. And while you're moving there, I want to go ahead and just kind of drop something on you. This will be a little commercial while you're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. We're taking, as a church, we're adopting another church body right now. And that's super exciting. We're adopting and going. Two churches are becoming one church, multiple locations. Right now we'll be Owensboro, Kentucky, and we'll be Amarillo, Texas. We're in a transition right now to do that. And that transition, I'll be prayed over, and this church and that church will become one fully in November. Somebody give God a hand clap that we're getting expanded. We're expanded, and we're believing God to have 100 locations. Anybody think we can do something wild, something next level as a church body? I think we can. And what I want to do is I want to be able to answer questions that people might have, right? We want to be transparent, let everybody know where we're going. I think a lot of times when people are informed, they don't have a problem with what's going on. But when you're not informed, weird questions crop up and the devil puts weird questions. And some people just try to partner and steal, kill, and destroy in life. So do y'all know that there are forces that are always against your church? Are y'all aware of that now? Like there's a devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then there are people who are just, will always be divisive by nature. Scripture talks about them. They partner with the demonic. So I want you to be able to ask questions, and I want to answer questions. So if you have your phone on you, while you're turning there, you could go to your phone. You may be at your scripture on your phone, but rivercitychurch.info. All right, rivercitychurch.info. You could get there also through rivercitychurch.cc. And then there's up in the right-hand corner, it says Central Hub. And there's a place where you can submit questions, okay? If you go to rivercitychurch.info, it'll be like one of the first places you can fill out. If you have questions about the transition of what we're doing or what we're going, I want you to fill those out in rivercitychurch.info. And then I'm shooting a video this week that's going to be played partially in a future service. It won't be the whole service. But me and Pastor David will be together, and we're going to answer questions like that for everybody. So it can be on the up and up. Questions can be answered because there's nothing to hide. I have nothing to be fully visible on what's going on. I know somebody's saying that I'm leaving and I'm moving to go. It's funny what people say about you throughout the years, and it's always like that. But I'm leaving and I'm moving town in August, and no such thing is happening. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to lead River City. I'm also going to lead Amarillo, and I'm going to lead another 100 churches. But I'm going to be connected to this. And if anybody tells you that, just look at them and say, man, stop getting your info on the bathroom wall, all right? Go to the source. Come on, somebody. Not topics, not some angry person. Go to the source. So rivercitychurch.info will be answering those questions. How many of y'all think that's a good idea? Is that a good idea? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. All right, if you're there, go ahead and say, uh-huh, tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Here's what it says. This is David, and this is David coming up on a real tough time in life, about as tough as it can get. If you think you've had a bad day, I'm telling you what, you're going to feel better about your day when you read about David's day right now. It's one of those days it's like, man, today has not been bad at all. It's been a good day when you look at what David goes through here. All right, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. David is running from Saul. He's got a group of men that are with him here, and they were staying at Ziklag. That was kind of the place they were camping and going out of, trying to keep Saul and his men from killing them. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. How many of y'all think that sounds like a bad day? It's a pretty bad day. Verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And that's a sad, sad verse. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Here's what we got going on in here. David and his men, they've went out. They're going out to battle. They're going out to kind of get what it takes, you know, to find out. They would go out and take spoils. They would attack enemies, get their stuff, and they would leave their women and their children at home there in Ziklag. And, you know, you can go out for a little while without the wives and the children, but how many know if you leave them home alone forever? Come on, man. How many think eventually there'll be some trouble in the house? How many of y'all think if you left some teenage kids unattended and you kept going out and you weren't watching Ziklag, you'd get a little trouble in the house after a while? Some of you have teenagers, if you left them alone at the house for 45 minutes, you would have trouble at the house. You know what I'm talking about? So David leaves and they go out and there's big time trouble. Here's one of the things I heard a guy say recently. If you want to keep your house strong, I'm talking to the men for a moment. If you want to keep your house strong, when you got problems or you get stressed out and things are happening, some guys will say, well, I'm going out for the night to blow off some steam. But instead of going out, maybe you ought to go in. Is that good preaching? Instead of going out, how about you go in, take care of your house, take care of your Ziklag, and that place might not burn down in the future. Somebody give God a hand clap if you think that's good preaching. You go in instead of going out, and God can take care of the rest. That's one of the keys, I believe, to having a strong family and having a strong marriage, is that you're there taking care of it. But there is a time you have to work. Now, some people can twist a message like that, and they'll almost make it sound like a husband should never do anything but stay in the house with the wives and the kids. And we're in a culture that everybody works. Most families are two-income families, so most of the time, men and women are both going out. But how many know, eventually somebody's going to have to go out or everybody is going to starve to death. Come on, somebody. Get these ideas. Some people, you know, they think they're going to have a living and nobody is ever going to work. And telling you, that's not the way God sets anything up at all. God's looking for a work-brittle, hard-working group of people that take care of business when business has to be taken care of, but we take care of family as well. Somebody say amen to that. So these guys leave and they come back to Ziklag. I want you to think about it. They've been out at battle, kind of taking over small villages and getting stuff from them. And they're walking back from the distance. Just think about driving towards your house this afternoon. What if you were driving towards your home this afternoon? You've been at work all day. You're finally going home. You're going to get on the couch. You're going to turn on the television. You're going to eat some food. You're going to watch MASH reruns for about an hour. That's what I do when I go home. I'm still not over Hawkeye. That's some of the best comedy that's ever been made. And you're going to chill. You know, you're going to sit on the couch and pet the dog. And as you're getting close to the house, you look up. And what you see is you see smoke in the air close to the house. And smoke in the air in the neighborhood. You know how it is when you see smoke, you can't tell exactly where it's coming from, right? You know it's in that region, that area. And as you get closer and you get closer, when you get there, you find your house burnt to the ground. Now you're talking about a bad day. And David and his men, they get there. The house is burnt to the ground. Ziklag is burning. Their possessions are gone. And that's a terrible thing to lose all your possessions. But come on, we can always get our possessions back. Possessions aren't that big of a deal. Possessions are not eternal. Just not long ago, I'll give you an example of this. Jesse had a little fender bender. And she was driving my pickup, happened to be driving my pickup. And so she got over, you know, a little too close to somebody's mailbox. I'm sorry if you lost a mailbox. But hit a mailbox and boom, you know, hit the side of my car a little bit. And she called me and she's like, honey, I got something I got to tell you. You know how when you make those calls, you're like, really? What is it? What is it, hon? And she's like, well, I'm like, you wrecked my truck, didn't you? She's like, yeah, I wrecked your truck. And I'm like, that's no big deal to me, right? It's a pickup truck. You know, my family, you never got in trouble for wrecking a car when you were a kid in my parents' house. Now, if you were drunk and high and wrecked a car, we got a different deal now, right? Because now it's grossly irresponsible. But if you just wreck a car, you wreck a car. Why does that not freak me out? That is temporal. Everybody say temporal. And there are a big difference between the temporal and the eternal. And I meet so many people that are like, their car's their baby. They're in there buffing that car, waxing that car, taking care of those rims, you know. And they hadn't taken their wife out in a month. One thing's temporal, one thing's eternal. The eternal always trumps the temporal. So the Word of God, the people of God, and the ministry of God is something that is eternal. Let's take care of that. Come on, give God a hand clap. If we're going to take care of that which is eternal. They lost some temporal stuff. They also lost some eternal stuff as far as they knew that day. Because all of the wives and all of the sons and all of the daughters had been taken captive. And so David finds himself in one of the toughest days of his life. You know, I used to preach this and I would entitle it, What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. David's also the leader of this group of people. So it's not just a day that's falling apart in David's life. It's a day that he's got to lead people out of the worst day of their life. It's one thing when it's just on you, you're having a bad day. You can do whatever you want to in that moment and maybe pull the nose up tomorrow. But whenever you're the leader and you're having a bad day, you don't get a chance to fall apart right now. Because if you fall apart right now, everybody falls apart and nobody's led out of the situation. That's why as a Christian, whenever the stuff goes bad, everybody else might freak out. But come on, somebody, we don't freak out because we have a God that is bigger than any situation we might be facing. We have a God who is sovereign over the mountain in front of us. We have a God that can calm every storm. We have a God that can shut the mouth of the lion. We have a God that can keep the furnace from consuming our life. You don't freak out in the fire. You rise up, stand up, get the shield of faith, stand your ground until God does a miracle on your behalf. That's the spirit of a leader and a Christian. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. Do you want that kind of spirit in your life? That's what I want in my life. That kind of spirit that is not broken or not shaken. And so everybody sees that the people are gone. The thing that matters is gone. The Bible says the men are so tore up they weep. Literally, until they have no more power to weep. There's like grown men and warriors weeping because their sons and daughters are gone. Let me ask you a question. Which one of your kids would you not take a bullet for? It's all of them is the answer. Some of you are like, well, I don't know. I've got one going through puberty right now, and I might not take a bullet for them currently. But you got one, you know, we got one got caught doing something. I might not take a bullet for them right now. But the other three I would gladly die for right now. These guys are crying, they're weeping, they're tore up. And whenever people get tore up, you know what they're looking for most of the time? They're looking for a scapegoat. Who can we kill for this? Right? Who can we pin this on? The political powers that be in the world, they're masters of finding a scapegoat, aren't they? They're masters of spin when stuff goes down. They can spin a deal that they caused and pin it on another party. And they know they can win a next election cycle. They do it all the time. There's guys that make millions of dollars a year, firms that make more money than that, all finding a scapegoat. And people want one. Come on, in our fallen nature, when things go wrong, we want blood. We want to find the person. We want to pin it on somebody. How many of y'all would agree with me that that's pretty much human nature? And these guys start talking about killing David. Now, David better lead well or die. All of the people, the Bible says that David was greatly distressed because the people talked about stoning him. That would get you greatly distressed. Come on, somebody say amen to that. They're talking about killing me now. And so every man was grieved for his sons and his daughters, verse 6. And the Bible says this, I love this. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. The key to making it whenever stuff goes bad, the key to leading when everybody else is falling apart, is strengthening yourself in the Lord. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. Let's say it again. I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. Say it one more time like you believe it. I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. You know, I believe that one of the first things you have to do to lead people, I think there's several E's several E's of leadership. And the first E is you better be able to edify yourself. Come on, everybody say edify yourself. The first thing you got to do is you got to edify yourself or encourage yourself. If you're going to lead somebody else, you got to encourage yourself. David's there. It's a bummer. Stuff's falling apart. And David encourages himself in the Lord. How many know you can't lift anybody else up if you're not lifted yourself? You can't pull anybody else up out of the problem or mire in life unless you yourself have pulled yourself up. And there's days when there's nobody else around to pull you up. You know, you're looking for somebody to encourage you, and thank God for church. We have brothers and sisters to encourage us, and that is a gift from God. But come on, there's going to be a day at some point where you cannot find a brother or a sister right then. There's going to be a day at some point where there's not going to be somebody available to do that for you. And the mature learn to encourage and to strengthen themselves in the Lord. David's life would cost him. His life's on the line if he doesn't have this skill. And so back in that day, how did David strengthen himself in the Lord? He'd written psalms. He was a man of worship. I bet he opened up his mouth. He began to sing psalms to God. You know, on your worst day, if you'll open up your mouth and you'll be a person of praise, I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough right around the corner. That worship in the midst of fire is something that people don't understand. But whenever you can praise God when it doesn't make sense, whenever you can praise God when all hell's breaking loose, whenever you praise God when it looks like the report is terrible, whenever you praise God when the house is falling down around you, if you can praise God at Ziklag, you can get a breakthrough right around the corner. David praised God right there, and he got his Ziklag right around the corner. Come on, we edify ourselves in the Lord. Another way we can edify ourselves as believers, we're a New Testament Spirit-filled church around here. The Bible says the man who prays in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. The man that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I've got a tool in my pocket called a prayer language, and I open it up every day and I pray in it. Does anybody believe that there's still a prayer language in the Spirit out there? Do we believe that at River City? I believe that. And I operate in it. I'm gonna pray in tongues. Most of my prayer life is praying in the Spirit. And Jesse said it the other day. Somebody asked them, what would you do? What would you go back and tell? She was preaching at Guts Church this weekend. And she was on a panel. And they asked her, what would you go back and tell your 20-year-old self? Jesse is 36 now, getting ready to turn 37. She's talking about 16 years ago. And by the way, Jesse, I've gotten so much. They said she lit it up out there this weekend. Come on, we got one of the greatest. They were saying, bar none, she's as good as any other female preacher in the nation. And she said, what would you say? And they have all the big ones there at Guts, by the way. They have Joyce Myers, Chris Kane, all of them. They came back and said, Jesse did better than any speaker we've ever had in any event. I mean, I'm super proud of her. But they asked her, what would you tell yourself? Your 20-year-old self, and she said, I'd tell myself to pray in the Spirit more and in the understanding less. She said, I'd tell myself to listen to God more and talk less out of my own mind. That's what I go back and tell myself 16 years ago. And I'm like, that's pretty good stuff. I think I'm going to try that this week. You know, I'm going to apply that to my life. Come on, you can edify yourself in the Lord. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. So listen, we pray in the Spirit and we minister Spirit baptism to people, and it's strong. And you can pray in the Spirit anytime you want to. You know, I know we try to be sensitive. We don't talk in tongues to the first time guests when they walk through the door. How many know that's going to be awkward? It's like, how you doing? Welcome to River City Church. Sha ta 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 ta. Huh? They're not coming back if you do that to them. I wouldn't come back either. There was a Spirit filled church down the road from the house I grew up in, and they were great people. But they didn't get that revelation just yet, all right? And some of my family went down there. Mom went to some meetings down there, and she said there was a woman preaching, screaming in tongues. It was jumping up, and both of her feet were coming off the ground at the same time, going forward. And she's like, Man, I'm never going back in there again. And I don't blame you, Mom. But here's the deal. We're not going to lose the power of the Holy Spirit in a church. All things are to be done, the Bible says, but they're to be done decently and in order. And we ought to have the prophetic. We ought to have it in order. Somebody say amen. We ought to have words of knowledge and words of wisdom. We ought to have it in order. We ought to get people spirit-filled because, man, that spirit-filled edge is what makes church different than anywhere else. I've had people come to our church throughout the years that edifying yourself and that openness to the Holy Spirit. They come in here and they come from other church backgrounds, didn't believe that kind of thing. And they would say, Brian, we love the church. We love the life. We love the energy. We love what we feel when you're preaching. But, man, when you start talking about this kind of stuff, the spirit-filled stuff, we don't know about all that. But we feel the Spirit of God in your room. And I'll be like, what you don't understand is that which you like is produced by that which you say you don't like. And you cannot have that which you like without having this element that you don't like. Come on, we need the freedom of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And if we don't have that, we don't have anything. So listen, you pray in the Spirit and it edifies you, it builds you up. You have to build yourself up to be able to build anybody else up. Then the Word of God, confession of the Word of God. How many believe that the Word of God is wall-to-wall truth inspired by the Holy Spirit? We believe that? So if you take the Word of God, get it in your mouth, get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth, get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth and get it in your heart. You take the Word of God, get it in your mouth and get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth and get it in your heart. Get it in your heart and get it in your mouth. Come on, somebody. Get it in your mouth and get it in your heart. If you'll take the Word and work the Word will work if you work it. But you've got to activate the Word by faith. And the kingdom of heaven, it suffers violence. The Bible says that. But the violent take it by force. You got to take the Word by force and activate it in your life. It's a sword of the Spirit, but the sword will do you no good lest you pick it up. Man, we got people with rusty swords. Swords that haven't been pulled out of the sheath in years. And a sword laying there in a sword fight will do you no good till you grab it and you use it. David edified himself in the Lord. Then David went from being a mess after he edifies himself in the Lord to becoming a game changer. You can go from being a mess to a game changer in minutes if you'll use the tools that God's given you. Now, I'm telling you, I'm looking at a room full of game changers right now. You're a game changer. You change the game. You change the atmosphere. You set the thermostat. You're the person making the calls in the room. So you got to see it. You got to see in the spirit, I make the calls. Come on, somebody. The calls aren't made by the devil in the room. The calls aren't made by the unbeliever in the room. They might even be in charge in the room, but I make the calls in the spirit. And I got to see it like that and have that kind of authority. Know that I operate in that. So number one, you edify yourself or you encourage yourself. Number two, if you edify yourself, then you can edify or encourage others. Come on. We're not going to edify or encourage anybody else if we're not edified or encouraged ourselves, right? So what we're doing in church right now, we're getting built up so we can build somebody else up. We are saved to serve. We are healed to heal. Come on. We've been ministered to minister. And what we've been given by God, now we give to others. That's supernatural. That's powerful. The world is waiting for somebody to encourage them and lift them. Your people at your work, man, they're looking for somebody to encourage them. They're looking for somebody like you with a word in due season. You get edified and built up enough. It's like this. If I'm ministered to, right, or I'm ministered to myself in prayer time, now I'm a full vessel. And when somebody has a need, I can pour out and I can help them. But how many of y'all have ever stopped edifying yourself and ran empty? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's been lots of seasons I've felt empty, super, super empty. I mean, almost hollow. Because with what I do, I'm ministering to people all the time, right? Got to have a word in due season. People are pulling. They need help. They need ministry. And that's what I do. I don't just minister. I coach ministers. You guys are the ministers. Somebody say amen to that. I'm not a minister. I'm a coach. But I also minister. It's just like a guy that coaches basketball. He's a basketball coach, but he probably shoots some shots every now and then to show everybody else how to do it. Same concept with a pastor or evangelist or prophet or teacher. All of the fivefold ministry gifts. Apostle. They're shooting shots to show other people how to shoot them. And if you let things flow out of you and flow out of you and flow out of you, and you never take back in, you become empty. That's what happens. You don't have what it takes anymore. As a matter of fact, what's happening right now, if you go to the land of Israel, and here's a plug, shameless plug right now. You have a chance to go to the land of Israel, November 5th through 14th. We're taking a trip there. If you're interested in it, you get info at the info booth. But if you go to the land of Israel, here's the way the water comes through the land of Israel, okay? Starts up in the north of Israel by Syria, up by the northern border. If you go to farthest northern portion of Israel, you'll be in the Golan Heights. Now, I've been up there on the Syrian-Israeli border before. You've seen Syria in the news just the last few days because there is a wicked leader there by the name of Assad that used chemical weapons on people multiple times now. And we just did some bombing over there, and we should have. We should have already dealt with him a long time ago. Just he's that kind of wicked. So you'll see that in the news right now. But up there by the Golan Heights, under it, right under it, I talked about a place called Caesarea Philippi this last Sunday. That's the fountainhead of the Jordan River. All right, the Jordan River starts up there. The water comes down from the northern portion of Israel. And then it flows into the Sea of Galilee. And then the Sea of Galilee collects there. It's one of the most beautiful, peaceful places I've ever been. It's not highly developed. There's some development around there, but it still feels pretty remote. If you look out across the sea, you see untouched land. And then out of the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River runs further down, north to south in Israel. And it gets down to a place called the Dead Sea. You get to the Dead Sea, you're in a desert area. And when you get to the Dead Sea, if you're out there in the summer, it's 120, 130 degrees. I've been there in June or July before. I would not suggest it, all right? It's way better in the fall. But what they've been doing is they've been pulling out water between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, all right? And then also there's more people moving there all of the time, pulling the water, pulling the resources. That water that would flow down from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. There's also other places where they have different industry there that's taking the water. Now you go down to where the Dead Sea used to be, and the Dead Sea's drying up. It's dissipating, and it's going away at an alarming rate. There's a lot of place out there that used to be sea. It's not sea anymore. Guys will get out there in cars, or they'll be walking, and the ground will just fall out from under them. There's been quite a few incidents of loss of life. Because that ground's been so eroded by the water, now the water's not coming anymore. They're walking on unsure ground. And there's guys there that were some of the greatest archaeologists in the world, died there, driving out there, just fell into the through the floor, caved in, killed them because they're on seabed and they're not paying attention to it, but it hadn't had any water. Listen, what's happened to the Dead Sea is it's been taken from, right? With all these other sources, but no water's coming. What happens if you keep giving, 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 and you don't receive? You can't do anything for anybody else. Telling you what God wants out of us is God wants us full. God wants us ready. Come on. The world deserves us to be filled. The world deserves for us to be ready. The world deserves for us to show up ready to encourage them and give them the answer. I'm going to tell you, you're the kind of people that have the answer. You're going to meet the world with it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, stand up on your feet. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Stand up on your feet. Come on, somebody say, I'm getting full. In Jesus' name.